We all know that Jesus was a compassionate man. It was a part of his very nature to be so. After all, he was the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, when one reads this passage by Isaiah, we need to know Isaiah was inspired to write of the Messiah by the very one who was to become that Messiah. This being was setting, as it were, the stage for his birth, his heritage, his growth, his physical appearance, how he would be viewed by the people that he was coming to, what he would have to suffer, and the why of that suffering. He set the stage for his life and mission on this earth. And one important part of that was his healings and the price that he would pay in order that those healings might take place. So in Isaiah 53, in verse 1, it says, "Who then has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Isaiah had to, and some of the prophets did, receive revelation from God, and it's my own opinion, that they mixed in their feelings. After all, they were the one that was being used, and they had certain feelings about the prophecy that they were giving. And Isaiah probably couldn't help but think of some of these things as he was saying them. And in verse 5, Isaiah says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." And that is the title of this sermonette, Healings of Jesus Christ. Isaiah goes on, though, to proclaim this being's intent toward his people. A few chapters over in Isaiah 54, starting in verse 5, Isaiah says, "For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." In verse 8, skipping down, God says, through Isaiah, "With a little wrath, I hid my face from you, but for a moment." Although it seemed differently to the people of Israel that he had cast them away almost forever. But he comes back to say, "But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer." And verse 10, "For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." When Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness, he came armed with all the knowledge of what was written of him in the prophets of old. He knew that his sacrifice was to be a complete one. Jesus came, of course, to proclaim the good news of his kingdom and of his Father's kingdom. In a lot of ways, he came to introduce his Father to people. He came to give his body a sacrifice for forgiveness of sins. In Matthew 14, in verse 34? When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into that surrounding region, and they brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Matthew 19, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. In verse 2, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Jesus undoubtedly knew that proclamation of Isaiah that by his stripes healing would occur. And he never once ended up refusing to heal all those who came to him and asked. He knew, Jesus knew, that for each person he healed, a terrible scourging was due his physical body. And yet, he still healed. With some of the healings came lessons of faith and trust. Some healings seemed to be conditioned on the faith of the ones who were asking. Others just occurred, well, because Jesus said so. But all his healings were complete. I had never thought about Christ's healings much before I did this study, but I have worked in a hospital and I've witnessed the surgeries to set right wounds incurred in wartime. And I can tell you with a surety that depending on the severity of the injury comes many hours of hard, painful rehabilitation to teach the body and mind to once again work in unison so that that person may walk again and return to being as happy and productive a member of society as humanly possible. The blind did see, the deaf heard, and the lame walked. To say each was healed completely in a medical sense is quite an understatement. When you consider all the things that had to happen and take place in an instant for these miracles to happen is in itself a miracle. For the lame man to walk, and I did the research, not only do all the muscle tissues, the nerve connections, the blood vessels, the synaptic pathways in his legs have to be made perfect, functioning properly. Also, these sympathetic and parasympathetic pathways from the legs to the spinal cord must begin to function again. Pathways must be opened through the spinal cord to the part of the brain that's concerned with proper movement, proper gait, proper balance, and memory of the muscle coordination for all this to happen, and for the man to rise up, if you remember, break the Pharisee's Sabbath, take his bed, and walk to his house, a whole and healed man. A man leaping and praising God? You bet he was, and so would I be. Jesus healed because he had compassion. The poor in health and the poor in spirit and the downtrodden of his time recognized that. They knew that. They could sense in Jesus the strength to heal. The woman who pressed forward to Jesus in a crowd, touched the hem of his coat, knew she would be healed of the issue of blood that she had suffered for so many years. Jesus, apparently, this time had no idea what was going on behind him. except for the fact that he knew strength had ebbed from his body. What kind of strength? In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21, it reads, "So it was, as they, the men, were burying a man, they suddenly spied a band of raiders, and they put the man they were going to bury in the tomb of Elisha." Elisha was dead, had been dead for a long time. "When the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha, and he revived and stood on his feet. This was the raw and residual power of the Almighty, strong enough to revive the dead man whose body touched the bones of Elisha. And this was the same power invested in God's Christ." Matthew 9 and verse 1. Jesus got into a boat and crossed over and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. You know, we can but take Jesus at face value, and we can be deeply grateful for his power and his compassion. Jesus forgave, he taught, he gave his blood and his body for all of us. We need but simply believe him to give birth to our works to proclaim his glory and his grace. The road to his death was one that he walked for our sakes. If we walk with him, any of us, if we walk with him, we will sooner or later come to the foot of that stake that he died on. And I say to who hears, to who listens and is poor and needy, is lame in need of healing, I do say to you, this is a very good place to start.